Welcome to Women, a feature program from United Nations Radio in New York. I'm Deanne Penn. Later in today's program, Afghan women need greater participation in the peace process, and a winner of a UN-backed multilingual essay competition wants more young people to be involved in the organization's work. But first, life-saving equipment and medical supplies from the UN Population Fund, UNFPA, are arriving in Yemen to help pregnant women in the war-torn country deliver their babies safely. An estimated 470,000 women trapped by the conflict are pregnant, and 70,000 of them may experience complications such as infection, miscarriage, abortion, as well as rape over the next 9 months. That's according to Himyar Abdul-Mogni, UNFPA's assistant representative in Yemen. He's been speaking to Maria Carlino about the fund's efforts to deliver obstetric equipment and reproductive health supplies to hospitals and camps for displaced people in conflict-ridden areas.
The estimations that 21 million of people are affected by the current conflict that started late March. Out of these 21 million, around 470 women are pregnant. And out of those pregnant women, UNFPA estimated around 70,000 of them that might go for complications, obstetric complications.
Can you describe these health-related risks and complications that the women are facing?
Yeah, these complications vary from one lady to another according to the status of the woman and also according to the age and other factors. But mostly these factors are around abortions, bleedings, obstructed labors.
What is the Population Fund doing to help these women safely give birth? Can you describe the kind of equipment and supplies the agency is providing?
The agency is supporting the entire country nationwide. That's in the normal circumstances. But due to the recent conflict, access was really a problem. So only those areas that were accessed could be helped by the agency. This aid or humanitarian aid provided by agencies also varies from one governorate or one area to another. It can be supporting the hospitals with the emergency obstetric care. It could be also providing life-saving medications that helps the woman during the delivery. It can be also in camps where we provide dignity kits as well as reproductive health kits and clean delivery kits. So it varies from one area to another according to the situation there.
How many women do you aim to reach?
We are aiming to reach the 470. Due to the access, as I mentioned, we can say safely that we have reached 250,000. These governorates, mainly in the southern part of the country, where the main conflict are. These governorates are Aden, Lahd, and now we are targeting more governorates or more areas in the northern part. And maybe by the end of this week, we can reach around 6 governorates out of 23 governorates in the country. So hopefully by the end of the week, we will be reaching more than 300,000.
Encouraging Afghan women to join the peace process requires safer work conditions and an equal right to participate in political issues. That's according to Huma Khan, who is part of the gender equality team at the UN mission in Afghanistan, UNAMA. Civil rights advocates have been meeting in the capital, Kabul, to discuss a range of issues that have been impacting women since the peace process began 13 years ago. Reflecting on UN Resolution 1325, which focuses on women, gender and security, Torpekai Armakal asked Huma Khan about developments and observations.
This is the 15th year of Security Council Resolution 1325, and under that resolution, UN agencies, along with particularly UN missions, are obliged to work on women's participation in political process, peace process, as well as decision-making processes, because this resolution came out of certain evaluations that UN's own work was not in compliance with many human rights instruments, meaning encouraging women to participate and also different impact of conflict on men and women. So that's why when there is a solution, also there should be both consulted so that it's not based on one. We work quite closely with Ministry of Interior first on issues related to female police, because Afghanistan has about 2,200 women in police force, but they're not in high positions, as well as a lot of them face different kinds of abuse and problems at workplace. So helping MOI to create an environment where more women will like to join security forces. We also work closely on political participation, so we work with women parliamentarians and provincial council members. With women parliamentarians also, we try to be in touch to understand if their views are being taken into consideration, advocate the issues they want us to advocate for through our leadership.
Some people say that the role of women in High Peace Council is symbolic. What do you think?
To some extent, that is true, but at the same time, we also have to keep in mind that High Peace Council has not been really active for a long time, according to its mandate. The council itself, because it's not been really functional, so women within that obviously have been even less functional. But if you look at the composition, in such a big council, they have, what, 7 women or 5? How will you speak up? First of all, the numbers are not appropriate, and many of the members themselves say that they are not always consulted.
It has appeared that the woman's achievement in the last 13 years will be rolled back. What do you think?
I think we should stop thinking about rolling back, because time never goes back. So I don't see any rolling back of anything. Whatever it's going to be, it's moving forward. Moving forward, we also see problems, and moving forward, we also see progresses. And it's not only Afghanistan. It's the truth of the world.
A winner of a UN-backed multilingual essay competition wants more young people to be involved in the organization's work. Sarah Arafe from Jordan was one of 70 university students from 42 countries who were at the UN this month to celebrate their achievement in winning the Many Languages One World contest. Participants had to write in one of the 6 official languages of the UN, that's Arabic, Chinese, English, French, Russian, or Spanish, that was not their mother tongue or the principal language of instruction in their primary or secondary education. 21-year-old Sarah, who is studying biology and chemistry in the United States, told me about her award-winning essay and her dream of working for the UN.
So the essay was about the post-global development agenda, which is after 2015. This agenda has 17 goals, and I discussed some of these goals, example like ending poverty and reducing any kind of malnutrition and promoting equal educational opportunities to all of the students and all of the people who deserve it.
Is it your intention to work with something like the United Nations, or do you have other plans?
Yeah, of course, it's my dream. Like, I don't have any other plans. It will be my honor. Very honored, like, to work in here, and I will do my best to help the humanity.
And now you mentioned you're studying in Wisconsin, and that's in the United States. Is this your first time at the United Nations?
No, I've not been here before. So this contest was really a good opportunity for me because it gave me the chance to come to here. Like, this is a dream. Like, I'm living a dream.
And tell us, what was it like being in the General Assembly, standing at the podium, reading your winning essay in front of all those people?
Well, it was a wonderful feeling. I feel that I'm president, or I'm like an important person. I feel that I was maybe like Obama. I mean, yeah, less than Obama, but like, he's the one, and other like presidents who speak there. So I feel that I'm like one of them, and I would love to be one of them in the future. Yeah.
Sarah, thank you very much for speaking with United Nations Radio. Is there anything further you think our listeners should know, either about the competition, about yourself and your studies, or your desires and dreams for the future?
Just my desires and dreams for the future is that I would like to work in the United Nations, and I would like to promote more programs like the Global Youth Forum to encourage more youth to come to here, because, you know, like you, they have a lot of energies, and like with their energies, sometimes they do bad stuff. So if we utilize their energy and their thoughts, and if we direct them in the good directions, then we will be able to build our communities, because really our communities, they depend on youth more than any others.
You've been listening to Women from United Nations Radio in New York. You can follow more of our programs on radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for listening. I'm Deanne Penn.